perfect bit of work. Peter Nucky wrote her, who knows her inside and out, and he said that he couldn't fault her and she was strong. And as long as she keeps passing the criteria for the remainder of the week, we'll take place.
And, mate, just a quick one. You've got the first emergency in the railway, Zarantz.
Yeah, bit of a controversial one. That I was in the field and then...
What happened?
They used their discretionary powers, which I haven't done in years. So I think the one they allowed in was definitely... It deserved to be in there, no doubt.
Which one?
Tradesmen.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so I've got no qualms with that. If they're trying to assemble a better field, go your hardest. But then when you've got Pornichet in there, who's only beaten the ambulance home at his two runs here and has been uncompetitive, he could have whipped him out or Belmont Gill that hasn't run a place in 8 starts. So there's horses with worse credentials that still remained in. So they might have been just giving me a clip. I gave him a little clip on radio last Friday. So okay. It might have been a square up.
I got your back. Well, you're sweating on a scratching.
Yeah, I am. Yeah. And look, if it doesn't come, it doesn't come, mate. Andrew, yeah. Because his main mission this time in the Perth Cup.
Okay, right.
It would be just nice to go to a mile and then on to the 1800, but that's all right. These things are said to try us.
We'll wait and see what happens, mate. Good luck with the week. I hope Whispering Brook continues to please you, mate.
Thanks, Andrew. And just a little note for you. Mm-hmm. The interstaters, didn't they get a little welcome to Perth yesterday? 38 degrees and 22 overnight.
Now, I've got a pacer that's arrived there for Inter-Dominion. Don't be too cocky about your bloody weather, mate, because we're coming to get you.
Well, you got a good record. I reckon you guys will dominate us over here this year.
Yeah, I don't know about
nervous.
Yeah, I don't know.
I am. I think the Eastern States have got a strong hand in the railway.
Oh, hang on. You've had a go at us, and now you're turning around and being the softie. Hey, mate.
Firing you up.
37 degrees, not ideal, but we'll wait and see. Hey, mate, good luck.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, Simon. Simon Miller there. So Whispering Brook at this stage certainly lining up ahead of lining up in the WA Guineas. Drawn okay. The barrier draw for the Group 1 Railway on Sky Thoroughbred Central tonight at 7:30.
Morning, I'm Gemma Cutting. John Barilaro is the new leader of the New South Wales National Party and the state's deputy premier following Troy Grant's resignation yesterday in the wake of a poor result at the Orange by-election. A party room meeting this morning elected the Monaro MP unopposed in a ballot against Andrew Fraser. Niall Blair has been elected as deputy leader after Education Minister Adrian Piccoli also stood down yesterday. The body of a construction worker has been discovered in the bucket of an excavator at a Homebush worksite. Police say his death isn't being treated as suspicious. Three teenagers have been charged over a series of armed robberies followed by a high-speed chase, which ended with their arrests on top of Melbourne's Westgate Bridge yesterday afternoon. The two 17-year-olds and an 18-year-old robbed a jewellery store and then attempted to rob a tobacco shop in Preston. They were chased by police by the ground and air, bringing peak hour traffic to a halt. The trio will face court today. And the search for the body of Matthew Leveson will enter its sixth day, with detectives returning this morning to a remote roadside site at Waterfall in the Royal National Park. The 20-year-old was last seen in 2007. In sport, Australia trails South Africa by 120 runs ahead of day four of the second test in Hobart after day three was stopped due to poor light. Australia resume at 2 for 121. Usman Khawaja is unbeaten on 56 while Steve Smith is 18. Paceman Josh Hazlewood says the softening early ball could help Usman Khawaja and Smith stand their ground on a pitch that's holding up well this morning. Ange Postecoglou faces several selection headaches ahead of the Socceroos World Cup qualifier with Thailand tonight. Right fullback, which has been a troublesome position in recent years, is down to a head-to-head battle between Josh Risden and German-based Milos Degenek. While further up the park, Jamie McLaren or Apostolos Janao are set to start in the absence of Tommy Urich and Tim Cahill. This is Sky Sports Radio, your racing and sports leader.
Say hello.
Get your entries in now for the English Spring Thoroughbred Sale, November 25 at Newmarket, Sydney, featuring broodmares, yearlings and racing stock. Entries close Friday, November 18 at inglis.com.au.
Your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio, loves presenting the very best in racing. And this spring has produced so many magical moments.
Abdullah pulled the whip. She's four or five in front, though, and Less Quiddy Spirit has pinched.
Miss the Oaks by four lengths. I said, well, she's going to stop. And I heard Greg Miles yell out, but the Squirty Spirit's still five in front. And the emotion just started running through me.
What a spring carnival. And you heard it here on Sky Sports Radio.
Race for millions at the New Look Queensland Summer Racing Carnival. The New Look Queensland Summer now includes three feature lead-in race days packed with 14 black-type races to prepare you for Jeep Magic Millions Race Day. There's also four Magic Millions wildcard races, the $1.5 million Queensland Summer Crowns and the 100k Villiers Burnborough Bonus. Race for riches in Queensland. Download the New Look Queensland Summer Carnival program at racingqueensland.com.au.
Are you ready for the all-new Muswellbrook Cup Day? New date, new features, an exciting new experience. The Upper Hunters premier social event this spring. There'll be colts galore and fillies to adore. A Racing New South Wales showcase event featuring the $80,000 Holly Dean Estate Muswellbrook Gold Cup. Are you ready for quality country racing, relaxed summer style? Muswellbrook Cup Day, Friday, November 25. Visit muswellbrookraceclub.com.au. Sky Sports Radio has the very best in greyhound racing this Thursday night from Melbourne.
Still Zambora Brocky defies them in the shootout by two to outside pass. It's Zambora Brocky clear though, and Zambora Brocky with a sparkling shootout win.
Sandown Park stages the TAB Melbourne Cup final with a staggering $420,000 to the winner. With Mark Duclos trackside at Sandown, you won't miss a thing on Sky Sports Radio.
They're off.
Gates open. They're off and racing.
On your racing and sports leader, Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Tab Tour.
One of the legends of the sport creates a little bit of magic at the mountain.
There it is. Adam Scott. A life changer.
It's the first time he's finished about a GP at Phillip Island. Mark Marquez, another in style down under.
With the very latest in racing and sport from around the country, welcome to Tab Tour.
Yes, no surprise after hearing Sean's voice yesterday that I'm sticking around for a little while. He's just resting it up for the rest of the week. Let's hope he is back tomorrow. And joining us is Jared Middleton from tab.com.au. Morning to you, Jared.
Morning, Andrew. You're a stayer.
Well, I had to be, because if I put Sean back on again, he was going to have no voice by the time we got to Wednesday, Thursday. By gee, there's plenty on in Sydney Town. The Australian Open Golf, it's building up, getting plenty of press coverage.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to it. At Royal Sydney, too, an iconic course as far as Australia is concerned. And, well, the last time the tournament was at Royal Sydney was a dramatic finish on the 72nd hole when Adam Scott, well, he had the lead and he gave it away to Rory McIlroy on the last, and two big names, of course, Adam Scott back again, and the market tells us it's he and Jordan Spieth. It's basically a race in two, with Spieth a $3.25 favourite with tab.com.au, Adam Scott $4, and then you go to 16 and longer the rest. But we did take a $2,000 bet on Aaron Baddeley, Hoss, at $21, an interesting one, of course, a former champion.
Yeah, for sure. The cricket, by the way, is underway on this fourth day in Hobart. We'll be talking to New South Wales cricketer Trent Copeland. The Aussies are 2 for 121. They trail by 120 still with Khawaja and Smith. But let's go out to Royal Sydney. Trevor Hurden is joining us. He's the Australian Open Tournament Director. Trevor, as I welcome you with Andrew and Jared, how many Australian Opens for you?
Well, this will be my 10th since I've returned from America, yeah.
So you had a stint, and then you had a stint in America, and now you're back again.
Now I'm back, yes.
Yes.
Been back a while.
Yeah, no, exactly. You've seen some tremendous golf in your history of the Australian Open.
Yeah, it's an amazing tournament. For some reason, it seems to come down to pretty much the last shot of the tournament before we get the winner decided. So it's all excitement as we get onto it.
Trevor, is there a moment that sticks out for you in the last 10 years?
Oh, well, I think Jordan Spieth's round at the Australian a couple of years ago was phenomenal when he shot 63 on that Sunday afternoon in the wind. It was amazing. That would be one of the highlights my career in the Open.
Trev, out at Royal Sydney, I know you're out there, obviously, as the build-up begins to the first round on Thursday. I know you walked it yesterday, or Mark Hayes from Golf Australia spent some time with you. How do you rate the course going into Thursday?
Well, we're lucky we've got some nice warm weather last week, which helped to kick-start the growth, which is a bit late in Sydney and Melbourne, but it's come right up and it's sensational. The guys are loving it.
And looking at the forecast, it looks quite good, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, we've got a good couple of cool days and, yeah, no rain forecast and some just moderate wind, so it should be good for scoring.
Just if you can relay, Trevor, we're a racing station as well as sports, and just relate, if you can, how preparation happens with a golf course with the first round on Thursday. What happens, say, from yesterday and today? What do the ground staff doing?
Well, it's all about preparing the playing surfaces the best that we can, and that's where we're at right now. We've got fairways at 9 millimetres, we've got greens at 2.6 and running at 11.5 feet. So pristine conditions for, you know, putting and ball striking from the fairways. And just the whole thing is about preparing properly and keeping all these players happy.
And you mentioned Jordan Spieth. You get to see him, I guess, more up close than most. Is he as intense as he looks?
No, mate, he's casual as. He's just a cool customer. He's unbelievable. He's like a 40-year-old guy, but he's only 22 or 3 or whatever he is, but he's amazing, got an amazing head on his shoulders.
He really wears his emotions on his sleeve as he plays, though, doesn't he?
Yeah, no, he's fantastic. He, you know, these guys, when you're in the top 10 in the world, you try and get it pretty right all the time, so they get a bit frustrated. But, yeah, he's a great player, and we're lucky to have him back.
We're talking with Trevor Hurdon, the Australian Open Golf Tournament Director. How about Adam Scott? Have you spotted Adam yet, Trev?
Yes, he's been out here. He's had a breakfast round the other day, and he was out again yesterday. So he seems to be hitting it very well as well. He'll be right there come Sunday, we hope.
Outside the top two, who are the names you've witnessed that are striking the ball really well and can really contend, do you think?
I'm glad you've asked that question, because Australia at the moment's got an amazing group of amateurs. Brett Coletta won the Queensland Open a couple of weeks ago and ran top 10 in New South Wales on Sunday. We've got Curtis Luck, who won the World Amateur Championship and the Asian Amateur and the US Amateur this year. He's number 2 in the world. He's playing well. He's here. You know, we've got a really good bunch of young amateur players at the moment. Not and they'll be up there come Sunday.
Adam Blythe played really well to win the New South Wales on Sunday.
Yeah, he did. He did. This is a different golf course. It's a bit more penal. But good on him for playing and holding all those putts. So good luck to him. And he should be up there.
Yeah, look, you just want to see the young players come through from here in Australia, don't you?
Yeah, but it's probably time for the new wave of world stars for us.
Yep.
You know, there's been a lot of great ambassadors playing around the world for a number of years, like Allenby, Lonard, Chalmers, Sandon. All these guys have been on the global stage, if you like, for the last 10 or 15 years. But the new wave of young juniors and the young amateurs is very promising.
Hey, Trev, on the text I got from Mark Hayes this morning, I said to him, what can I ask? He said, anything at all, mate. From grass heights to player form and logistics to the players' lounge. What's going on there?
Well, the players get looked after here in the Australian Open, and Royal Sydney's not a bad place to look after them.
Yeah, I reckon it'd be beautiful.
Yeah, we look after them very well. We feed them, we water them, we give them a place to relax and take their family and all that sort of stuff. So it's a great atmosphere and it's a great event, and we're lucky to have all the top players come back and play it each year.
Jared, how do you see the changing of the Australian golf summer, Trev? It's changed where we've got this 3 weeks coming that's underway now, and then we come back after Christmas time. How do you see it evolving? Is it good for Australian golf?
Well, it's always been a bit like that. You know, we have the run into Christmas and we're coming out the other side. But the world tours now, Japan tour, the European tour, US tour plays late into the year. So that really dictates when we play, when we can get all the players back down here to play on our part of the world, in our part of the world. So the scheduling of events is one of the things dictating. The World Cup's knocked us about this week because we go up against Dubai this week.
Yep.
Which means we can't get too many of the top Europeans here. So that's one of the negatives of it. But we'll be back in our normal time slot next year as the last weekend of November, and we're looking forward to that.
And, Trev, what's unique about Royal Sydney, and what type of players does it suit?
Well, it's not an overly long golf course, but the greens, it's sort of got pocket areas where we put these holes, and it's not just big flat greens anymore. It's sort of different 4 or 5 pockets around each green. So it's quite hard to get at it, especially for some of these longer, like there's 17th holes, 220 metres, which is pretty fierce. So it's not a very good birdie hole, but there's a lot of
short irons in here. That makes it exciting. Of course, the wind makes a big difference. We get the nor'easter in the afternoon, kicks in about 3, so that's halfway during their round in the afternoon. So depends on the wind, really.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing it all unfolding. Are you the one, Trevor, that the golfers sort of blew up when you put your holes in real hard places on Sunday?
Oh, it's about getting the best players to the top, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Oh, gee, it's exciting. I love golf and I love the golf summer season. We know summer's arrived when we get to a tournament like the Australian Open. Trevor, we thank you for your time this morning. Good luck with the whole week coming up, and we'll certainly be updating for all of our listeners right through from Thursday to Sunday.
Great, guys, and thanks for your support.
Good on you, Trevor. Trevor Hurdon there, the Australian Open Golf Tournament Director. And the marketplace, as you said, tells us that Spieth's, well, the punters want Spieth.
Yeah, they do. $3.25 best backed, Andrew. Next best backed is Aaron Baddeley at $21 after a couple of nice bets, as I mentioned. But Adam Scott on the second line at $4. And then you're going to $16 for Jeff Ogilvie. Rod Pampling won a couple of weeks ago. He's one of three players on $17 with John Senden and Cam Smith. I mean, it's a pretty good lineup. Yeah. And those amateurs that that Trevor mentioned as well, Curtis Luck, $34. He's been one to watch. There's been a few bets for him just chipping away. As well.
And at $34 also, Brett Kalita. And I know we had him on BSB yesterday and also on Sunday afternoon when he won the New South Wales Open. I'm just searching for his name. Adam Blythe.
$81.
Yeah. $81. Well, he was 101 yesterday.
Yeah, no, there's been a few bets for him too, I've noticed. Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay. We'll be updating, as I say. Round one out at Royal Sydney begins on Thursday morning, and I know Channel 7 are all over it, and we'll be updating as the tournament hots up. Well, let's go and talk cricket now. Trent Copeland's our man from the New South Wales Blues, who line up in another Sheffield Shield match out at the SCG. Also, I think, starting on Thursday. Trent, good morning.
Morning, gents. How are we?
Very well. Is it Thursday, the day one?
Yeah, Thursday, the SCG against Victoria. And it's going to be, you know, Vic have won the last two Sheffield Shields, and they're almost at the top of the table again this year with some guys in red-hot form. So it's going to be a great clash at the SCG.
The old rivals clashing again. This is real Shield stuff when you play Victoria.
Yeah, absolutely. And they've got, you know, last week when we played the SCG, it was proper, hard, old-school SCG conditions where it spun almost from day one. And, you know, even chasing a little total like 96 on the last day, you know, we were 7 wickets down when we were trying to chase it with balls spitting out of the rough and stuff like that. So it's going to be a hell of a challenge, but we're up for it. We haven't lost a game in Sheffield Shield cricket now for 18 months. So, you know, we're looking forward to it, and we take any challenge head on.
Gee, that's a stat, mate. So you've either won or drawn.
Yeah, yep. And, you know, it says a lot about our character. And, you know, we obviously won the Matador Cup not long ago. And New South Wales cricket's in a pretty good space. And we've got some young fellas doing some really good stuff as well.
Yeah, and both sides 2 from 2 to start the season in the Sheffield Shield. So this is a big match indeed. And, well, a lot of the scribes and fans south of the border there in Victoria are complaining because none of their players are in the test side at the moment, Trent.
Oh, it doesn't sound like Victoria.
Not much.
No. Well, you know what? It's the most successful Shield sides over the past 2 seasons. And I think historically, you know, New South Wales and Victoria, I think you see a large portion of those, you know, players from those squads getting into the national side, and a lot of other teams whinge about it, you know, given how often it happens. But at the end of the day, you know, Peter Siddle was in the last test, and he would have played this test had he been fit. I'm sure there'll be more players in the future step into that test lineup. It's just, you know, at different times, there's different players that are ready to go. So I think you'll see, we saw 2 debutants in this game. You know, Callum Ferguson unfortunately run out in the first innings, and Joe Menny making his debut. So, you know, there's a bit of a turnover happening, and obviously the Aussies not going as well as they would have liked. I'm sure those Vics will get the opportunity, and hopefully a few of our New South Wales boys as well.
Just on that, Trent, we've sadly lost a wicket here. Khawaja is out for 64. He's edged to, I think it was the wicketkeeper or first slip off Abbott. So the Aussies are 3 for 129, still about 115 behind, and Khawaja's out for 64. So it's not what we wanted, Trent, to the start of day four down there.
No, we really needed to bat big, and I thought Usman and Steve Smith did a fantastic job yesterday getting to stumps. In tough conditions, they played and missed a lot, and the South Africans bowled fantastically well. Isn't it amazing to have someone like Kyle Abbott just come in when Dale Steyn misses out and automatically bowls the first over of each innings, and he's right, ready to go, and he's bowling beautifully. So, yeah. Along with Kagiso Rabada, who's been super impressive for such a young fella, you know, putting it on a 20-cent piece at 145 clicks each time he bowls it, it's been tough work for the Aussies. And we, as you say, not ideal start to the day, and we've got a lot of work to do, even just to draw this game, let alone potentially win.
Yeah, Australian cricket fans, journalists, just about everyone who loves the game are searching for answers at the moment, and a lot of, their fingers are being pointed at the schedule, and it does look amazing, Trent, when you looked at just before the Pakistan series, there's 3 one-dayers against New Zealand. I mean, it's madness, isn't it? We need our test players playing in the Sheffield Shield.
Yeah, I think we do, but I also think that, you know, it's not a new phenomenon for cricketers to have to learn to switch on and off from different formats. And that's part of professional cricket now. And at the end of the day, you've got to be ready to go for whatever it is that you play. All the Sheffield Shield guys that played Test cricket at the start of the summer, you know, Steve Smith, David Warner, Sean Marsh, Joe Burns, Usman Khawaja, all scored runs in that first round of Shield matches. So, yes, it's disappointing that we haven't done as well as we would have liked, but I don't think you can blame the schedule or say we should have played 3 Shield games or, you know, I think it just is what it is. Yes, it can be tweaked by Cricket Australia, and we would love, in Sheffield Shield cricket in particular, you know, 10 games. I saw Ed Cowan talking about it last night in some media that he did. 10 games of the Red Kookaburra ball playing hard-nosed Sheffield Shield cricket in proper conditions that we're going to play in our own country and be dominant at that, rather than trying to play 5 Dukes ball games and pink ball games and, you know, trying to play around with what is our, you know, number one priority is Cricket Australia's mantra to be the number one test nation in world cricket. So I think there's tweaking that needs to be done, but it also falls on the players to be prepared for whatever it is that their next challenge is.
We're talking with Trent Copeland from the New South Wales Blues. Hey, Trent, just on the wickets themselves, do you feel that we're serving up the traditional Australian wickets these days?
Well, I think, as I mentioned just before, the old FCG was back in force last week, and I think that's something that, you know, we really want to take ownership of. We've got 4 games at the FCG with New South Wales this year. In past years, we've only had 1 or 2. And we're playing at places like Blacktown and Bankstown and Coffs Harbour and things like that. So we love that we're back at the SCG and we really want to take ownership of that. I think we saw the first test last week. It had some serious bounce and carry. Yeah. And that was much more like the old Wacker. I really hope so, Andrew. I think one of the things that makes Australia special is how different the pitches are and how hard it is for opposition players to come out here and adapt to the conditions. So,
well, you look at India and England the other day, it was starting to really spin up, and they, that's what India want, don't they?
Absolutely, and it's no secret that when you go to the subcontinent, we just go to Sri Lanka. I think if we just play that 3-test series against Sri Lanka in Australia, I think we win.
Yeah.
You know, we go over there, we lose 3-0. So we need to be dominant in our own backyard before, you know, we can, you know, I think it's common around the world, not just Australia. And I think sometimes the media is pretty harsh and the public in particular are pretty harsh judges of the Australian team. It's not easy going to subcontinent conditions, but we need to be still dominant in our own conditions, which is, I guess, the disappointing factor at the start of this test series.
That's it. We don't get any favours when we go over there, that's for sure. But look, it's just the pressure that's being put on the bowlers. Like being bowled out for 85 in the first test, and this low score syndrome has been going on for a few years now. you've got to give some credit to particularly Josh Hazlewood to come out with 85 on the board and I guess probably restrict South Africa to what they did in the end, what a 200-odd run lead. Josh Hazlewood in particular was superb.
Yeah, often the unsung hero within the Australian bowling attack. I think people need to sort of give him the due rewards that he deserves and respect that he deserves because, you know, six for, he takes a five for every sort of three or four games that he plays, which is just phenomenal, his record. Averaging around about 25 with the ball. He's played a lot of tours in the subcontinent already. I think he's played, you know, mid-20s test matches and already he's up towards the 100 test wickets mark. So he's one of those guys that is, you don't like comparisons, but in terms of what Glenn McGrath brought to the table, Stewie Clark brought to the table in yesteryear, you know, he is as good as we've had. And I think he forms the backbone of our attack. Yes, Mitchell Starc can be, you know, bowling 150 Ks and scaring the pants off our opposition. But I think Josh Hazlewood is often overlooked as the key cog in that bowling attack and someone that can take wickets but can also not give away runs and really build pressure no matter what the conditions are, whether it's reverse swing, you know, lots of bounce, you've got to bowl stump to stump, those sort of things. So, as you mentioned, Jared, he's an absolute star and he's still very young and we've got to get right behind him.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, just finally, mate, how's the wife going, Kimberly Green, who is one of the star netballers, and we've got this new competition in the new year, mate. Is she excited?
She absolutely is, mate. She's just she's been jet-setting around the world. She's just been in LA running a tour, a netball tour over there for the last couple of weeks. She got back over the weekend, and first day of pre-season was yesterday. So,
okay.
Yeah, good timing. There you asked that. She's really pumped. She's with the new Giants franchise with the Netball New South Wales guys. And, yeah, she's absolutely pumped about it. You know, it's going to be live on Channel 9 and everyone's really excited after the Fast Five was on a couple of weeks ago. And I think just the fact that New Zealand are now no longer in this competition, we're really going to see the best of the best of Australian talent. And, yeah, Kim's ready and raring to go. It's going to be exciting.
It will be. We wish her the best. We're going to have to get her on one week, mate. Drop you and include her.
Oh, she's a much better choice for you guys, I'm sure. She's much better looking. Although, I've been told plenty of times I've got a good face for radio. So.
Yeah, I've got a good head for radio. I know that, Trent. But anyway, no, all's good, mate. Good luck on Thursday when it starts again for you with the Shield match out at the SCG against Victoria. Hope you can skittle a few, mate.
Cheers, lads. Thanks very much.
Thanks,
good
Trent.
On you. Trent Copeland there from the New South Wales Blues. Let's just stay with cricket to wrap up Tab Talk. Ayrton Woolley is down there for National 9 or Channel 9 News from the Melbourne office. Fair dinkum, never happened in my day getting 5 days in Hobart when there was a test match on, Ayrton. What's going on there?
I've been very lucky, Andrew, certainly. And I've certainly taken advantage of what Hobart has to offer over the past few days.
Fair dinkum, Jeff.
I won last night, but the weekend was certainly... quite enjoyable.
Yeah, Jared Middleton's with us. Jared, when you were at Fox, I mean, did you cop a trip like this?
Oh, not quite to Hobart, no.
No, but no. 5 days somewhere?
No, I wouldn't say 5 days. No. Definitely 2 or 3 max, but 5 certainly would have been pushing the friendship.
Okay, well, Ayrton, we've begun in a poor way. Khawaja out for 64 and a bit of a yell up there for Steve Smith. Well, he survived it.
Yeah, it's been a pretty familiar story this morning, Andrew. Some really tight bowling from both Kyle Abbott and Vernon Philander. And that pressure got to Usman Khawaja. He was caught behind for 64, a shot he really didn't need to play. There had been a number of play and misses before that. Australia at the moment, 3 for 130. They've scored just 9 runs from the first 7 overs today. Steve Smith yet to score so far today, if that gives you an indication of just how hard it is for batting again today.
Ayrton, how would you describe the demeanour of the players? As a media, you can get, you know, reasonably up close around them. I mean, when you're chasing your tail for the whole test match, it's hard to stay, I guess, upbeat and positive. How are they?
It's an interesting question. I guess they've tried at different stages to really relax and different, I guess, training sessions that they wouldn't have otherwise done, some different drills and that sort of thing to try and stay upbeat. But for the most part, it's really difficult when you're struggling. You can see the reaction from the players at a lot when wickets are falling. It's just hard to stay positive. Speaking to Michael Clark yesterday, who's speaking to Stephen Smith at different times, he says he's really feeling the pressure. He's taking it personally. He wants to turn the form around, but it's hard when there's not a lot of players going with him at the moment.
They turned it around yesterday. Josh Hazlewood, we've just been talking about his six-fer, but on the batting front, the bloke who's in right now, I know there's probably a couple of others, but Voges needs a real big innings here to survive in this team.
Yeah, well, he's not the only one either. I mean, Joe Burns is already out after he was dismissed on the fourth ball of the innings, but Voges has been struggling. He is off the mark, but he's certainly not looking convincing either. Adam Voges, Nathan Lyon too in the papers here, has had his position questioned ahead of the third test after a poor bowling performance. So plenty of upheaval in terms of selection this series already, and we've still got four tests to go this summer.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah, that's it. And how's that pitch playing today? Because it certainly showed signs of flattening out after what we saw in the first day.
Yeah, it was. It did play much better yesterday, particularly when South Africa batted in the morning. Then the temperature rose a little bit yesterday, and that's when it started moving around again. This morning, just a touch of movement and just enough for the South African bowlers to, I guess, get nibble away and put the pressure on the batsman. Vernon Philander, as we know, bowls just so straight, and he's been really piling the pressure on this morning.
All right, so at the moment, Australia 3 for 130, which means how many do we need? We need another 150-odd?
111 just to make...
111, sorry. Yeah,
so it's looking likely that we could be facing an innings defeat if we're not careful, but I'm certainly hoping that we can push on past that total and push it into a fifth day. As you know, Andrew, gets me an extra day down here.
I'll be talking to your boss about that, mate. Hey, thanks for coming on and having a word to us. We might come back in a couple of hours and see how it's going.
No worries, mate.
Thanks a lot. Ayrton Woolley there from Channel 9 News in Melbourne down at Hobart. What are the odds at the moment, Jared?
Yeah, Australia $11. They went $6.50 to $11 straight after losing that wicket. South Africa $1.20. The draw $5.50. But of money taken today, it is all for South Africa. Australia's just gone to $12 now with South Africa $1.18.
We need 111 more just to have them bat again.
Yeah, well, you'd think you'd need at least a 150 lead to give, you need someone to be a hero, don't you, really? Yeah. Mitchell Starc to come out and brain them. But, yeah, look, we